It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, Jeremiah Jensen joining me here. It's that time of year in which my allergies are wreaking havoc on me. We're a week away, well, a little over a week away from the NBA draft, and we're not that far away from NBA free agency. But let's, you know, what happened last night in the NBA Finals, Jeremiah? By the way, we're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. Last night, what happened in the NBA Finals really kind of speaks to what we need or what we wanted to talk about today. I think we were mainly going to focus on Anthony Davis and the ripple effects. We want to talk about ripple effects of what happens if someone signs with one team, how that affects the NBA and how that affects the Utah Jazz. But I think we need to now start off with Kevin Durant after his injury last night and what this means for the rest of the league. And so what are the ripple effects for Kevin Durant if he decides to stay with the Warriors? Do you think he stays with the Warriors? Do you think he signs with another team, especially after an injury last night, which many are saying is probably an Achilles injury, and that means he's going to be out probably close to a year. Mm-hmm. So he may not be able to play again potentially until the playoffs next year. So what are the ripple effects? Does he sign with – do you think he re-signs with the Golden State Warriors right now?
So before the injury happened, the feeling I got from, you know, you're obviously with free agency, you're trying to read the tea leaves all the time. You're trying to figure out, you know, how guys are responding when questions are asked and what the dynamics are with the team they're on. But with Kevin Durant, it just always felt like this was going to be it for him in Oakland. And there's nothing that was ever said that convinced me that that wasn't the case. You know, he never tried to really take down any of these rumors that were out there. There was never this, I'm committed to the Golden State long term. This is where I want to be. And, you know, it was just always him making comments about him being Kevin Durant and the Warriors. And it always felt like he was separate, like he wasn't really a part of what they were, which is odd. And so this feeling always existed. So now that this injury has occurred, I was thinking, you know, to answer your question, I'm thinking about, does this really impact anything that was that's going to happen in the future? Well, is nobody going to offer him a max contract in this offseason because of the injury? Absolutely not. Nothing changes with the contract, right?
In fact, real quickly, Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated talked to three different executives, and he said, there are at least those three executives said someone's going to offer him a max contract no matter what the injury is and hope they can get at least three more years out of him. So I think that's a given that he's going to get a max contract no matter where he goes. Is it going to be Golden State? Man, they're going to be in the tax if they do that. And
well, they already are.
Yeah.
They're
I guess further into the tax.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they're prepared for that. They're massively wealthy. That's not an issue for them. Their issue is they're trying to keep that team together. And so there's a threat to that in this offseason and beyond. That's why the feeling was if they lost last night, we may have seen the end of this dynasty because changes are coming, whether they want them to or not. But back to Kevin Durant's future, I don't think anything changes. The more I think about it, he has the option to opt in and for $30 million and just be a Warrior next year, even though he won't be playing, and just rehab his injury and take that $30 million and give himself another year to make that decision and see how things play out. If he's already in his mind, knows where he wants to go, and the teams where he wants to play for have that room and they offer him that contract, New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, then he might as well just sign that now and basically gets a redshirt year to get healthy, and that team that signs him knows that they're losing a year of that four-year contract. And that I don't think that's going to deter a team like the Knicks or a team like the Brooklyn Nets from doing that. So I don't think it changes all that much. It's really a matter of what he wants to do at this point. So what will the ripple effect be? It could affect other people's decision-making. So here's a scenario. So Kyrie Irving, it feels like he's leaving Boston. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And everyone's looking at the possibility of the Brooklyn Nets being the team he signs with. Well, I think the plan was, and you see Brooklyn already making moves to facilitate this. They already made a trade last week to reduce their or to get more cap space. Their feeling was, okay, we're going to get Kyrie Irving, and we're also going to go after Kevin Durant, and that's kind of the sell to Kyrie Irving there. Well, if Kevin Durant's not playing next year, does Kyrie still want to go along with that? And does a team like the Nets still want to go along with that, even though Kyrie's going to be their guy without Kevin Durant next year? So how much does this impact Kyrie's decision where he goes based on what Kevin Durant does? So there will still be a little bit of a ripple effect, but I don't think his injury changes much of anything, which seems crazy, but he's arguably the best player in the world. So his value is not going to change, even though he suffered this devastating injury that few players come back from and actually maintain the level that they played at before.
If he does remain with the Golden State Warriors, and that still is a decent possibility now that they might lose and he might feel like that he is he wants to still be part of that team, if he decides to re-sign with the Golden State Warriors, the one thing I will say about that with the Jazz is that's still an uphill climb. You're still going to get Kevin Durant back at some time. Maybe he rehabs quickly and he's able to come back, and that's going to be tough. The Golden State Warriors are going to be tough anyway if they decide to sign Kevin Durant again, or he opts in, excuse me. Klay Thompson decides to stay. They're still going to be a very dangerous team. But if Kevin Durant leaves outright, that gives at least the Jazz some hope that there is a future out there.
Absolutely.
Without that completely dominant Golden State Warriors. And maybe because he does move on, like what you said, maybe that has a ripple effect, and maybe the Jazz are then able to sign a free agent, like we talked about last time, D'Angelo Russell, because Kyrie goes to the Nets, maybe Kevin Durant goes to the Nets. Now they have to free up even more money to sign both of those guys. And so there's a possibility there. I'm not sure which way Jazz fan. Well, no, I think there is a clear way. I think they want Kevin Durant to leave, regardless.
Absolutely. You want anybody in the West that's great to go to the East.
You might have to face him later. But
so?
That's down the line, right?
Yeah,
if you face them later,
that means you're in the NBA Finals,
yeah.
And that's awesome. So be it.
Yeah. So I think if you're a Jazz fan, you want Kevin Durant to leave
mm-hmm.
and go somewhere else. But just as you mentioned, let's quickly. I know that Anthony Davis is the big one. I think we wanted to talk
yes.
about, and that's going to be the start, I think, of the ripple effect right there. But let's just really quickly. You talked about Kyrie Irving. How much does this change his mind right now? I read a report today that Danny Ainge is going to try and do whatever possible to keep Kyrie and then bring Anthony Davis on board. So, again, we're making that assumption right there of Anthony Davis getting traded because we know he's going to get traded. So the question is, where's Kyrie's heart right now? Do you see him going back to Boston, or do you see him going to New Jersey? And, again, that has a ripple effect down the line for the Jazz and other teams out there. I think he moves on. I think there's just something there between the Celtics and Kyrie right now that's kind of rubbing him wrong. Maybe it's the young guys. Maybe, again, it's just this feeling like I can get another big guy to come with me, or that chance to get Anthony Davis on the team, even though Anthony Davis supposedly says he wants to play with the Knicks. But anyway, I really think he moves on, and I think that could possibly mean good things for the Jazz signing one of their combo guards, because they're going to have to either trade one of them or D'Angelo Russell. They'll just say, you're a free agent. We're going to make you an unrestricted free agent. And that gives a good chance for the Jazz to sign someone like that.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving's not going back to Boston. I think it was pretty obvious the way things ended there. And he just bought a home in South Orange, New Jersey. It's just, this is where he's going. This is the route he's taking. And the Nets wouldn't be making the moves they were making if they didn't feel like they had a chance to make this happen. Not that they know that it's going to happen. They're just anticipating this possibility. This could impact the Jazz if the Nets were to land two max slots, meaning Kyrie Irving and somebody else, whether it be Kevin Durant or somebody else, then they would probably need or have a desire to move on from D'Angelo Russell. And they could renounce him, and instead of a restricted free agent, he could become an unrestricted free agent. And at that point, the Jazz would have a lot of interest in D'Angelo Russell. As a restricted free agent, I don't think the Jazz will make any offer to a restricted free agent. I don't think the Jazz would put all their eggs in one basket. And if you're wondering, well, why not? Why don't they just go, you know, throw max money offer at D'Angelo Russell and hope that the Nets don't match? Well, because the Jazz would have to wait until the time is where they can actually make that sign, where they can offer that contract, and then they're held hostage for so many days while all this other stuff's going on. Whether it's Tobias Harris, or maybe you work in a trade to get Mike Conley, or whatever free agent move you want to do, all your money now is tied up in this restricted free agent, and they might match, and you're rolling the dice on that. Well, all the while you're missing out on all these other options. The Jazz are not going to offer a restricted free agent unless they exhausted all their other options, and then at that point make that decision. So, Jazz fans, if you want to see D'Angelo Russell be a Jazz man, you want the Nets to score big in free agency and renounce the rights to D'Angelo Russell so he becomes an unrestricted free agent. At that point, the Jazz would have a great chance.
If D'Angelo Russell does not become an unrestricted free agent, if they sign Kyrie, don't you think, but they aren't able to sign someone else. If you're D'Angelo Russell, I know it's great, you're going to play next to Kyrie, but in reality, both of you need the ball in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If you're D'Angelo Russell, aren't you maybe saying to yourself, maybe force something? Maybe force a trade or something like that. I'm not sure if he could do that, but if I'm D'Angelo Russell, I'd want to force something to get out of there, because if Kyrie's coming to town, that means you're not the number one option anymore. You're probably not the number two option anymore, especially if they signed another big free agent, because then that's all moot. But I just think that it would be hard to play next to Kyrie because he needs the ball in his hands all the time. And I think D'Angelo Russell, on the other hand, also needs the ball in his hands quite a bit. I'm not sure Kyrie, from what I've seen of him the past few seasons, would like to see that, because he already had problems with that when he played with LeBron. So why would you want to play next to Kyrie Irving? If it happens that Kyrie signs with the Nets and no one else signs with the Nets, if I'm D'Angelo Russell, I'm like, get me out of here. I need to go play with someone else because I'm not sure I want to play with Kyrie Irving. But I'm not sure how much power he's going to have.
The Nets control that. The Nets have total control over that. The Nets control whether they match an offer that he gets. So it doesn't really matter whether D'Angelo Russell wants to play with Kyrie or not. It wouldn't be up to him. You know, he could ask them to renounce him, but I mean, if the Nets plan, and they don't get that second max slot free agent, if the Nets plan is to pair those two together in their backcourt, then I mean, and he's going to get paid, and they're going to match any restricted offer he gets, then it doesn't really matter. But I agree with you. Ask Kyrie's Celtics teammates how easy he was to play with last year. I mean, they had so many problems in their locker room, because Kyrie's not an easy guy to play with. He's tough to get along with. So, I don't know. That's going to be an interesting to follow. I mean, if you're a Jazz fan, I would watch the Brooklyn Nets moves very closely.
If you're a Jazz fan, you want to see Kyrie sign with the Nets. What you don't want to see, I think, and maybe I'm wrong with this, but I don't think you want to see them make a trade for Anthony Davis on top of that. I'm not sure they really
have. The Nets getting involved in the AD trade.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure that's what you want. I'm not sure they even have enough to make a trade like that. But I'm not sure you want to see that. I'm sorry. Let me go back. I think you want to see something like that. Yes, I'm going right. You want to see something like that. I'm totally messing myself. What you don't want to see is Kyrie going back to the Celtics. The Celtics getting involved in a KD trade. Because I think that makes the Pelicans that much better. with the young guys that will be traded from the Celtics to the Pelicans.
Oh, absolutely. Look,
Pelicans.
I think that, and I
apologize for screwing that up earlier. You want to see AD and Kyrie go to the Nets. You want to see that because that can help the Jazz out. What you don't want to see is Kyrie going back to the Celtics and AD going to the Celtics too, because that helps out the Pelicans quite a bit.
So let's talk about the Anthony Davis trade. And he wants to go to the Lakers or the Knicks, but he has no control over that. He eventually will, because he becomes an unrestricted free agent after next season. And that's why whoever trades for him is taking a major risk, similar to what Oklahoma City did with Paul George, similar to what the Toronto Raptors have done with Kawhi Leonard. Anthony Davis can go wherever he wants to go next summer. So if you're trading for Anthony Davis and you're the Boston Celtics, you would do so, and you would give up a lot of assets knowing that the chances of him coming back are 50% or less, right? That's a major risk to take. But I think what the Thunder did and more specifically what Toronto has done to gamble on Kawhi, and now they're one win away from an NBA championship, I think a lot of teams are going to look at that and say, you know what, that's a risk worth taking. If we take that risk for just 1 year, and who knows what happens? Maybe Anthony Davis likes it here. We're willing to take that risk because you look at what Toronto did, one win away from an NBA championship. Who wouldn't want to take that risk? Who isn't going to roll the dice on that? So I think there's going to be a lot of offers out there that are really interesting for Anthony Davis. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of teams that shy away from that like we thought 6 months ago at the trade deadline. There's going to be a lot of teams that would be all in on that. And obviously the Lakers are a team that are aggressively pursuing him. And that would make sense. And do they have the assets that New Orleans wants? Well, this is what the New Orleans Pelicans have said they want. David Griffin says this is what they want. They want an all-star caliber player. They want a future all-star player, and they're going to want some picks. So who has a package that they could offer the New Orleans Pelicans that gives them what they're looking for? You know what the Pelicans want. Who out there has what the Pelicans want? I don't think there's a lot of teams, actually.
Other than the Celtics, I would say there's one.
And that is the one that stands out to me the most. So if you're the Boston Celtics, you could make that kind of an offer. Jason Tatum is a kind of player that you can make that deal with. Do the Pelicans want Gordon Hayward? I don't know. But that's possibly a guy they would have to throw in there. And then Boston has picks. They have the 14th pick this year. They have future first-round picks that they have from previous deals. The Celtics can offer the best package, in my opinion, and they want him badly. Now, can the Lakers beat the Celtics? Plus, the Lakers... The owner of the Pelicans has come out and said, over my dead body, when trading Anthony Davis to the Lakers. I'm a little bitter still from what happened at the trade deadline last year. But eventually they might cave if that's the best deal for them. Now, what players on the Lakers roster would put that over the top? I mean, I have obviously Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball would probably have to be involved in that.
Brandon Ingram, possibly. He would have to pass a lot of physical tests to make sure he's healthy enough to
go. Right, exactly. The Lakers don't have an all-star caliber player right now outside of LeBron that they could offer.
They'd have to involve a third team. They would have to
exactly. They
would have to get a third team out there to agree. And again, I wonder, though, how many teams would want to help the Lakers out? They would have to get a sweet haul in return. Some other player, or maybe a sweet draft pick from the Pelicans, or some—I don't know. I really don't know. But the Lakers would have to convince someone. You've got to help us out here so that we can get AD.
Absolutely.
What team out there is going to want to help the Lakers right now? Who are floundering?
Well, the only teams out there that want to help them is if they benefit dramatically from that. And so the whole point of you bringing this conversation is how could this impact the Jazz? Well, the Jazz could be involved in some kind of thing like that. If it's a 3 or 4 team deal, maybe there's a way for them to benefit from that. But ultimately, where Anthony Davis goes, especially if he goes east, is great for the Jazz, and that also will have a ripple effect. As soon as AD goes somewhere, and it'll impact the draft, and it'll also impact free agency, because there's players that may want to play with Anthony Davis. There's some teams out there trying to trade for Anthony Davis with the purpose of combining a free agent with Anthony Davis. Lakers being one of those teams. All of a sudden, if the Lakers get Anthony Davis, all this bad news and publicity that they've had the last year kind of kind of sweeps away a little bit because they have room to go after another free agent to add to LeBron and Anthony Davis. And all of a sudden, the Lakers look a lot different, right? So the Lakers could do an overnight transformation, which they've done in the past. They're one of the few franchises in the league that are able to do that. So I don't know what package the Knicks could offer. The Knicks keep coming up in all these things with all these players, and I'm looking at the Knicks. I'm thinking, what do they have on the roster that they could offer in a trade?
Right.
What do they offer a free agent? I mean, they're not contenders, and they're one of the worst franchises in the league, and their owner's a dope. What do the Knicks have to offer? Why are the Knicks in this conversation? It's just because they're in New York and they're the Knicks. But
Anthony Davis has also said, "Hey, I'd like to play for the Knicks." I think that's part of it too.
Why?
Why does he want to play for the Knicks? I have no idea.
That's a conversation for another day.
I have
but
no idea.
That's how this Anthony Davis trade could have a ripple effect around the NBA. It is the first domino that will fall, and it will have a big impact on everything that goes. Then after that, Kevin Durant's decision. What happens with Kevin Durant? And then everything will go from there.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see where things go from there. A couple of quick ones. Ripple effects. I know it'll have a ripple effect on the Warriors, but does Klay Thompson sign anywhere else? The only other place I could think he could sign is maybe with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lakers strike out on Anthony Davis and Klay gets a sweet deal to come play with LeBron. He'd be a great – now that's a guy that you could see playing with LeBron and could thrive playing with LeBron. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it does have ripple effects throughout the rest of the Western Conference. The Lakers automatically get better. I don't know how much better, but they are going to get better because that game last night, you saw it. He's good.
He's a star. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's not that guy that's going to create his own shot often. I can't even say that, really. He just creates shots differently than maybe other guys do.
He's got a lot of offense, and I think he feels like he can do more. He's been willing to take a back seat to these other guys because he's been about the team, and it's paid off with championships. It's paid off for him with notoriety. It's paid off for him with his contract. It's paid off for him with all-star nods. He got disrespected this year, didn't make all-NBA, and I don't think that sat well with him. So that gives you kind of a feeling, well, maybe he wants to strike out on his own and go somewhere else and be the man. And joining with LeBron at the Lakers makes a lot of sense. His father was on the Showtime Lakers, Michael Thompson.
Oh, I remember.
Won championship. We all remember. And he still works with the organization. I believe he does TV or radio for the Lakers. So there's ties there. And he may have a desire to do that. If he left the Warriors, I think the Lakers would be the destination. But, man, when you think of the Golden State Warriors, you think of Steph and then you think of Klay.
I think it all hinges on Kevin Durant. If Durant,
right.
If Durant decides to opt in or sign a multi-year deal, I think Klay starts having wandering eyes and he starts looking elsewhere. If Durant leaves, I think Klay stays. I just don't see those two splitting up. Meaning,
Golden
Steph
State can
and Klay.
Pay him the most money. He is the Warriors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to see him leaving. And he's going to get the most money from the Warriors. And they're going to continue to win without Kevin Durant. They're still going to be a force. They got to figure out what to do with Draymond Green and how that all. But that's the same Warriors team that was great 5 years ago without KD. So they'll be fine. Are they going to be the juggernaut that they have been the last 2-3 years? No, but they will be fine. So yeah, I don't think he leaves the Warriors. But if he does, the Lakers I think are the team he goes to.
Another quickie. Sorry to interrupt you. Another quickie. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
I would say it would have a big ripple effect on the Raptors and possibly even on the Jazz if he decides to leave and go to the Clippers. In two ways. Number one, it's going to be tougher in the West again, or at least tough in the West. I mean, the West just has so many good teams right now. We haven't even really talked about Denver and how good they were this past season, or Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even saying these guys are going to go out and make big deals, but they're going to be tough teams to play night in and night out. But let's say Kawhi goes to the Clippers. Well, automatically, the Clippers are going to get better with Kawhi on their team. And if they get a second star, yikes, watch out. They're going to be really
contender.
Good. Now, how does this affect the Jazz if he leaves? Now maybe the Raptors are thinking to themselves, well, we want to go young now. If they win their championship, we want our championship. Let's go young. Maybe we can sell off some options or sell off some guys. You could see a guy like a Danny Green maybe end up on the Jazz for a season, or maybe he follows Kawhi to the Clippers or something like that. I need to look up his contract status. But the guy that we've heard, possibly rumored coming to the Jazz, at least if things break apart, is Kyle Lowry. another placeholder point guard for the Jazz. Mm. I'm not sure how you feel about Kyle. The one thing that Kyle would bring to this team is he would bring leadership and, well, I just think he's a great team player. I will say that. What you're not going to get from him is 30 points a night. That's not what you're going to get from Kyle Lowry. I think he could potentially mentor Donovan Mitchell a little bit more on how to be a point guard. I think you could get some net positives from him if they decide to trade him off. What do you think?
No.
You're not in on
well,
Kyle.
This
and
is
that's
the,
fine. That's
this
fine.
Is the irony in this conversation is they had, back to the Gordon Hayward summer, Kyle Lowry was one of the guys that they were going to go after if Gordon didn't do what he did. If Gordon had told them before he did that he was leaving, then they would have gone all in on Kyle Lowry, and they probably could have got him. That's what I've heard. So Kyle Lowry was one of the big names that they were chasing in that free agent. Had they not put all their chips on Gordon and came up bust. So anyway, it's funny that now I'm saying, nah, I think if you're going to go out there and try to trade for a veteran point guard, that guy's Mike Conley. And there's a reason why the Jazz were pursuing Mike Conley at the trade deadline, and I don't think that pursuit is going to stop because he would be a perfect fit. He would give the Jazz exactly what they're looking for. He would take a lot of pressure off Donovan Mitchell. He can score 20 points a game. He's still at his age, 32, is still at the top of his game, still in his prime. He's near all-star at that position. He can shoot the three near 40%. He's a playmaker. He can create off the dribble. He does all these things that the Jazz need, and he would be the guy you would chase, not Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry's a terrific player, but Mike Conley's better, and I think that's the guy you chase if you're trying to do that in a trade.
No, I understand that here. I think the difference here is, depending on what the Grizzlies want, the Jazz could maybe satiate their appetite with what they could trade to the Grizzlies so that they could get Mike Conley. Mm-hmm. If they can't get that deal and we're further down the road and the Raptors came and say, hey, listen, all we want is like this player and a second round draft pick and we'll give you Kyle Lowry. That's what I'm talking about. That it's not their first option, but it could be an option down the line for them. Because Kyle, yeah, he's going to be expensive next year, but he's in the last year of his contract too.
I think Kyle Lowry at $30 million doesn't make you better.
No, not much. But it gives you something. So it gives you something. If you're desperate for a point guard, it gives you a guy who possibly could be coming off winning an NBA championship.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying he's a perfect fit. I don't think he is either, Jeremiah. Yeah. I'm just saying that option is out there. What about Danny Green? I'll just real quickly. I think he could be valuable, but I think he's looking for more rings, so I don't think he would come to a team.
He's a
like
shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know, and there's a history there. I think he's with Dennis with the Spurs. I don't know how far back that goes. I don't know if Dennis had crossover there with Danny Green. I can't remember, but I think there's respect there. And the Jazz are looking for a shooter, so they're always looking for somebody like Danny Green. So that would be a possibility. I mean, it's crazy. We're talking about a Raptors fire sale after possibly winning a title. But if Kawhi leaves, I don't know what they're going to do. I feel like with as competitive as Masai Ujiri is and how competitive that organization has become, I'd be shocked if that's the case. But like you say, you never know, and you have to be ready for those options.
Another couple of quick things here. What would be the ripple effect if Tobias Harris signs with the Utah Jazz? What's the ripple effect, not only with the team, but maybe other teams out there too, if he signs? And by the way, still kind of a long shot, but it's a shot. You know, it's that whole Dumb and Dumber thing where it's like, I got a chance.
I think, the Jazz have a lot better chance than Lloyd Christmas had. I think that there's more than a – look, the Sixers have the inside track on that just based on numbers. They rolled the dice at the trade deadline, and now – they have the advantage because they can offer him more money in another year. So the Jazz are up against that. But beyond that, does Tobias Harris want to stay with the Sixers and deal with the circus that they have? Because, look, the Celtics had locker room issues. They were rough, but the Sixers weren't far behind him. I mean, there was some drama there. So does he want to be a part of that after experiencing that for a few months? We'll find out.
Are the Jazz a 2 or 3 seed?
With
Tobias Harris next year?
I mean, we have to wait and see who else, like you mentioned. Yeah. If Kawhi goes to the Clippers Lakers rebuild, and so, I mean, I have to know who everybody has to say definitively that that would be the case. But if you take what the Jazz have right now, so let's just say you've got Rudy and you got Donovan, you have Tobias Harris, that's a big three. And Tobias Harris still has room. Tobias Harris is 26, 27 years old. He's still got a lot of room for development. And who's, I mean, the Jazz are among the best teams in the league in development. So I would be really interesting to see the kind of player that Tobias Harris could become as a member of the Utah Jazz. That's a pretty good team. Now, I'd have to wait and see to give them a number on that, but absolutely a playoff team and possibly a contender. We'd have to wait and see how Tobias would fit in and how that would develop. But it would make the Jazz a lot better. It would give them a guy that can score, create his own shot, do multiple things. His defense is suspect, but I think that's something that he could actually work on and improve on. And in the Jazz culture, he would have to do that. But offensively, he would make a huge difference. And what is the one Jazz weakness? It is offense. So if they're able to shore that up, combined with their fantastic defense, now you got a juggernaut. And that's what the Jazz would be looking for. So that would be the ripple effect to me, is it would take the Jazz up a notch. Is it contender status? We'd have to wait and see. Have to wait and see what the other teams in the West do, but they would be in the mix.
If Anthony Davis ends up with the Lakers, if Kawhi ends up with the Clippers, if I'm Tobias Harris, I'm thinking second about going back to the Western Conference.
It's a fair point. I mean, if you're a Jazz fan, you don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. How many of these guys want to come out back out West knowing that that's the kind of juggernauts they're going to have to deal with? If they want to win, you got an easier shot in the West, in the East, especially if Kawhi leaves Toronto.
Doesn't mean that Tobias re-signs with the Sixers. I mean, he could sign with.
There's
another
other options. Yeah. There's other teams there's Indiana. No one's talking about the Pacers, but the Pacers have some cash to spend. So that's a place where somebody like that could land, and all of a sudden Indiana could be that team that contends with the Bucks or the Raptors, depending on what's happened. So, yeah, the East is much better than it has been, but the difference between the West and the East is still it's just such a gap.
Let's say they strike out on Tobias Harris. Things are not going their way. Do you give up minimal assets to maybe try and get Kevin Love? He has 3 years left. Is it 3 years or 4 years left on his deal?
I think it's three. I'd have to look it up. I think he signed a max 5-year deal with the Cavaliers.
Okay.
Or it was a 4 or 5. I think it was 5, right? It was max deal.
Yeah. So
it's massive.
If you didn't have to give up much, would you go out and get Kevin Love?
So I'm a fan of Kevin Love's game. I think he's terrific. Didn't play much last year. But are you willing to pay that much money and have him take up that much space for a guy that can't create his own offense, can't create his own shot, and has some limitations defensively? I don't think he's a good fit. And I know there's some Jazz fans out there that would argue with me on that. Again, he's a terrific player, but you have to think about how much money he's taking up in your salary slot and how much he's actually giving you. How much is he making your offense better? I think that there's weaknesses that he has in his game that are also weaknesses that this Jazz team has, and I don't think he makes the Jazz better.
Okay. Another couple of quick things real quickly. I read in SI's latest mock draft, they basically said, I'm not even going to talk about who they thought that the Jazz would pick. I'm just going to say the first line in there was, the Jazz, we're hearing that the Jazz are looking to move this pick.
Yeah, and it's shocking.
So just a week ago, we were talking about the same exact thing. Are you still on that fence? I'm starting, not just because of what he said, but I think the closer we get to the draft, I think the more likely it is the Jazz are going to try and trade that and get veteran help.
Quickly, I know you're trying to wrap this up. There are some players out there the Jazz like, but there's no guarantee that that player or players is going to be there at 23. If they don't have a player they like, they cannot wait to ship that pick off. They do not want to take up a salary slot with a guy that will not and has no chance to make their rotation next year. They need that spot for a veteran player, possibly a shooter, that's going to make their team better next year.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's plan on it next week.
Okay.
Let's talk about the guys that the Jazz are interested in. Later this week, we're going to focus on a couple of Tennessee players, actually three Tennessee players. I talked with Wes Rucker, who follows the Tennessee Volunteers, and we're going to talk to him about three players, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams, and also Jordan Bone. That was Jordan, if he ends up with the Jazz, that's a second-round draft pick. But I wanted to talk about the other guys because they could be there at number 23. And so I wanted to find out a little bit more about him. But next week, Jeremiah and I will get together. We'll talk about the guys that the Jazz are interested in prior to the draft. So, Jeremiah, thanks again for joining us here on the Jazz Notes podcast. We appreciate you downloading, subscribing, and listening to the podcast. Make sure you tell your friends about it. Give us a review. Let us know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have lots more stuff leading up into free agency and after free agency, Summer League, all that fun stuff that's coming up later on the Jazz Notes podcast. We are powered by KSL Sports.